Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Ka'Chava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor, crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to ka'chava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's ka'chava.com, code FITNESS.
So that gets WVU to 18-13. And if I'm right, WVU is a postseason team. Not the one we're looking for. That doesn't get you in the NCAA tournament. But it's a good year one and something to build on. Ross Hodge, no stranger to the NIT. If that's where it ends, I think that's a good first season. Studio in Nitro, West Virginia. This is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt, and for the second straight season, with a new head coach, essentially a whole new roster, West Virginia wins on senior night for the second straight season against Central Florida for the second straight season to finish with a 500 record in conference play for the second straight season. Head coach Neil Brown, everything evens out. It has in the last two seasons in Big 12 play. Right down the middle. 10-10 last year, 9-9 this year. And West Virginia will finish in the top half of the Big 12 regular season standings for the second straight season and get a first-round bye in the Big 12 tournament for the second straight season. Here we are. And West Virginia held Central Florida to 3 of 16 from 3. And West Virginia made their free throws tonight. They went 21 of 25 from the free throw line. Central Florida was doing WVU things. They fouled a three-point shooter twice. They did not shoot well from the free throw line. Central Florida had long stretches without a field goal. And yet, the Knights were only down 4 with 12 minutes left. Folks, for Central Florida, was giving WVU the business in the second half. Some of those moves were nasty. And he seemed unstoppable in the middle of the second half. And then possible Big 12 Coach of the Year, Johnny Dawkins, who, you know where I stand with Dawkins. I think he should have a lifetime contract at Central Florida. He's getting his team to the NCAA tournament this season. It looks like he's great, and he needs to stay there forever. Dawkins set Folks, the guy who was unstoppable. I'm sure it's just to get him a rest. West Virginia was up 9 with 10:48 left. In the next 2 minutes, WVU outscored Central Florida 9-3, pushed the lead to 15 with a Brennan Laurent 3. Dawkins calls timeout, and that's ball game. They were in it. Folks sits down. They're out of it, and that's how it stayed. And some of the same beats as the BYU game, multiple contributions, and really all year. When West Virginia has won, especially in Big 12 play, it's not just one guy. Number of guys scoring the ball and making contributions. Honor Huff scored 24 tonight, 10 of 10 from the free throw line, no turnovers. Brennan Laurent, a Mr. Consistency, 14 points, 4 rebounds, no turnovers. Talked about that 3 that he made. I think he made 2 tonight, which is always a good night when Laurent is making threes. Jasper Floyd didn't shoot a bunch, but he made every shot. Made every free throw, every field goal he attempted. He finished with 10. Chance Moore, I sing his praises every podcast. 13 points, only missed one free throw. He hit a three. I'm going to miss Chance Moore doing Chance Moore things. Playing the hits. For me, I feel like I say that every episode. Trayson Eaglestaff, 9 points, 7 rebounds. Obioa had a couple of blocks. Amir Jenkins with Jasper Floyd in foul trouble. He played 23 minutes, 3 assists, only 1 turnover. Got to work on the jump shot in the offseason. Got to work on dribbling with the right hand, even though he did have some impressive handles at points in the game. And West Virginia sandwiches that brutal loss in Manhattan with 2 strong performances against 2 teams that are going to make the NCAA tournament. Why the meat of that sandwich is putrid and rancid, we'll never know. But the bread of the sandwich of the last 3 games, it's fresh bread, it smells great, it's toasted right. The bread is beautiful in this 3-game sandwich. The meat has not passed any inspection. Nobody is, I mean, it's 2 thumbs down on the meat of the 3-game sandwich. But the loss midweek and going back to the Utah loss, it's always great to see them win. Is it as exciting when the stakes have been lessened? It's not. But I've got 1 note from tonight's game and 1 question from tonight's game. The note is on the jerseys. West Virginia was in the white throwbacks. We've saw those multiple times this season. Feel like we've got a healthy dose of the throwbacks. And let's just in the term throwback jersey, let's just take the throwback out and let's just call those the jerseys. If nobody asks, would you say that these are throwbacks? Maybe they look like retro jerseys. They are awesome. You know, some jerseys have been around forever. Not a ton of changes. They are awesome. If the jersey hasn't changed in 50 years, then the jerseys that they were wearing in the 70s, in the 1970s, they're not retros if they haven't changed. All I'm saying is stick with these. With the slight tweak, instead of going with the light blue jersey, which is true to what Jerry West was wearing, flip that blue over to navy blue. Keep the whites that they were wearing this evening. I know you got to have a gray. I know you got to have a black. Different. You got to have some alternate jerseys. But these are great. Have the word West, then the number, then underneath the Virginia. Or just keep these. Make these the regular jerseys, please. These are awesome. It's not that I dislike the other ones. It's just when I see them play, especially in these white retros, that why isn't that the jersey all the time? They look great. That's the note. The question is in the strategy at the end of the first half by Ross Hodge. West Virginia's up 11. Eaglestaff misses a 3. Central Florida gets the rebound. They have the ball with 30 seconds left. They're going to run the clock down and hold for the last shot. West Virginia has fouls to give, as there were all the fouls in the second half. Not a ton of fouls in the first half. And so West Virginia has fouls to give, and they start fouling. Jenkins gets a take foul with 8 seconds left. Central Florida brings the ball in. Guy starts to drive. Chance Moore fouls him. 5 seconds left. So West Virginia's burned about 3 seconds with 2 fouls. Central Florida gets the ball in again. West Virginia defender falls down. So you do all that. Central Florida guy still gets a wide open 3. He misses it. Put back by Central Florida. Buzzer sounds. West Virginia's up 9. So to recap, West Virginia's up by 11. When it goes to halftime, then they come back out and they play 20 more minutes of basketball. So if Central Florida and West Virginia doesn't foul and they hold for the last shot, then there's a number of things that can happen, but nothing monumental. I guess at worst, West Virginia will stay up 11. But if you're Ross Hodge and you would say that your team is better at defense than offense, and there's 20 more minutes of basketball to play, what's the difference? Let's say Central Florida doesn't get that put back. Isn't there a decent chance you play good defense and Central Florida still misses a shot if they play it out? What am I missing here? We've seen at the end of games doing take fouls. I get it. Would you rather your opponent have the ball dribbling with 5 seconds left or taking it out of bounds with 5 seconds left and having to set up and run a play? I get that idea, but he brought Ugasuk in to maybe burn a foul, but you get fouls on guys. You only play 7 or 8 guys. You put an extra foul on each. Luckily, you don't get burned there, and those guys don't get in foul trouble. Jenkins, who has been in foul trouble a bunch this season, and Chance Moore. It felt cute in the moment, and I would still be saying this on the podcast if Central Florida didn't score. But the strategy, it's hindsight always is 20/20, and Central Florida got an open shot and a putback by implementing the strategy. I don't know how much changes if Central Florida just runs the clock down and tries to get a shot versus what happened. I don't know. I'm not privy to the spreadsheet. I am not a basketball coach. It kind of makes sense, but I'm talking about enough that it doesn't make a ton of sense for me. I just don't get it. Ross Hodge was not asked about that strategy at the end because West Virginia won by 15. And that's fine. West Virginia most likely will not be an NCAA tournament team. And we know why. You can go through the list of games. When I first got a Nintendo, I'm an old person, and I'm sure this still happens with whatever iteration of PlayStation or Xbox. If the game's not going right, you turn it off and turn it back on. I'm guessing now you unplug your Wi-Fi router. I don't know. But you can reset. You know, in-game, redo. And West Virginia is not an NCAA tournament team because of the list of do-overs they have. If they had the reset button on the Nintendo, how many times would they have hit it this season? And the easy thing to say is just reset every time you lose. I'm not actually thinking about the reset strategy like when I was 11 years old playing Nintendo. But there is a substantial list of do-over games. And if that do-over list was a short list, it was just like one or two games where it was a close one and you're on the wrong side of it and you'd want a do-over, that's a shoulder shrug. That's like, you know what? This team is what it is. The record that they finished with feels right. That's not the case with the 2025-2026 Mountaineers. I think that do-over list is substantial. And I'm being conservative and looking at 5 games that's on the do-over list. And if you're going through and in your head, like which games are do-over games, you probably have more than 5. I, in good faith, can point at 5 games this season that you'd want to hit the reset button. And if you just hit reset and win 2 of those 5, let's say it's 2 of 5, but let's say your list is 8 and you just win 2 of those do-overs. West Virginia finishes the regular season with 18 wins. 2 do-overs get you to 20. You're a 20-win team and have a solid NCAA tournament resume. And I know it doesn't work like that. And you know how I know it doesn't work like that as far as the do-over logic is, let's say West Virginia somehow wins in Manhattan on Tuesday. They still give up 21 in a row, but they get the lead down to 3 and somehow tie the game, get it to overtime. Kansas State implodes because they are not very good this season. And you sneak out with a win. So let's, in the hypothetical game, let's say West Virginia does that. Does that mean they still win tonight at home on senior night versus Central Florida by 15? I can't hear you, but do you think that? And if you say yes, are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? Because I'm not. Because that's not how it's worked for WVU, especially in the last half of the Big 12 schedule. West Virginia has not put two quality performances in a row together in the last month and a half. So by that math, if they put a good performance together on Tuesday, then how are they going to do it again on Friday? It doesn't work like that. And you don't get do-overs. It's not a Nintendo. And what's wild about West Virginia's 9 Big 12 wins, because they're finishing in the top half of the Big 12 standings, they are a top half Big 12 team that's not going to most likely make the NCAA tournament. It's not like this team just were bottom feeders. It makes it even weirder. Where you're like, all right, top half, but they're not making the NCAA tournament. What happened? Well, they obviously cleaned up on the bad teams in the conference. No. Not so fast, my friend. West Virginia, 1-4 against the current bottom four teams in the Big 12 standings. 1-4 against the basement. 2 of those losses at home, 1 an overtime loss, and 1 was a loss where the other team's leading scorer was out. So West Virginia did not bottom feed to get the 9-9. They didn't fare well against the top of the conference either. West Virginia 1-5 against the top 6 teams in the conference. And a lot of those losses was by a lot of points. That's a lot of strong. Half of those losses were substantially, they weren't close. But if we're just looking at the middle of the Big 12, the meat of the sandwich of the Big 12, West Virginia were killers in the middle, dominant. West Virginia undefeated against the middle of the conference, 7-0, 2 sweeps, all 3 Big 12 road wins. If you're in the middle of the conference in 2025-2026, WVU had your number. If it was a mid-off, is that what the kids say? If it was a mid-off, West Virginia is the boss mid. Top of the mid to you. that doesn't make any sense. Well, West Virginia were not bottom feeders to get the 9-9. They did not, wasn't great against the best, struggled against the worst. But if you're in that in-between, West Virginia had your number this season. And it doesn't matter how you get there. West Virginia is a top half Big 12 team.
Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Go to smokingmusket.com. Read posts about WVU sports, daily throwdown. Check that out. Go to the Discord. We're talking about WVU sports and other stuff on the Smoking Musket Discord. Link for that is in the show notes. Listen to West by Pod, the WVU football podcast under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Do all that stuff. Smoking Musket.
The next game for WVU is on Wednesday at some time. Don't know. The other 14 Big 12 teams will play tomorrow to determine final standings, who gets what seed. Arizona's locked down the 1 seed. They are the Big 12 regular season champions. The Terminator has been dipped in the lava for the time being. Houston finally just takes a break. You say, all right, I guess we won't win the Big 12 conference regular season championship every year we're in the Big 12. They may get back to business in 2027, but they're taking a break this year. They're good. In an off season for Houston, they're going to finish second, most likely. So it's not like they took a big dip. They went from 1-2. But shout out to Arizona. They are the one seed. They are the regular season champs. West Virginia, first round bye because they are a top half Big 12 team. And the game that will determine West Virginia's seed in the Big 12 tournament is 2 p.m. tomorrow, Cincinnati versus TCU on the Frog Court. I'm not sure where Cincinnati stands with the Frog Court curse. It might just be WBU. But Cincinnati, since Wes Miller was walking around saying, I'm ashamed and I wanted to get this right and look like he had seen a ghost when West Virginia beat them in Cincinnati, the man has gotten that team wins. And they are still in the mix for a NCAA tournament bid. They're not on the right side of the bubble, but they are on the bubble. And if they go into Fort Worth and win tomorrow at 2, then West Virginia will get the 8 seed. And that's what they had last season. And West Virginia, that means they'll play the winner of the 9-16 game. And that will be Wednesday at 2 p.m. on ESPNU. West Virginia was the 8 seed last year, played 16 seed Colorado. You know what happened. If somehow TCU wins on the Frog Court and beats Cincinnati, then West Virginia will be the 7th seed in Kansas City. They'll play the winner of the 10-15 game, and they'll play that game Wednesday at 6 p.m. on ESPN proper or ESPNU. I'm not sure. Check your local listings. And then if West Virginia wins against, if they're the 8th seed and win the against the winner of the 9-16 game, then they play Arizona on Thursday. And if West Virginia is the 7th seed and they win, then West Virginia will most likely play Houston on Thursday. And when you see both of those paths, you walk down those paths, and at the end of those paths, unfortunately, I think for West Virginia, is a big red stop sign or the dead end sign, where that's curtains for the season. And it's just a matter of which day it's going to happen, if they're one and out or if they win a game and then play either Arizona or Houston. Why do I think that? West Virginia, as I mentioned, and you all have watched it, they have not put two good games together in a row since the middle of January. But let's say they do that. Let's say tonight was a good performance. If they Wednesday put together another good performance, that's two in a row. Kudos to them. And their reward will be playing either Arizona or Houston, who they lost to by a combined 64 points in two games in the regular season against those teams. So the paths do not look promising. The damage has been done. But have you looked at the calendar? Have you heard of a term called March Madness? Have you heard that? Have you heard about March Madness, gang? I've heard it. And it means that crazy things that can happen. Now, crazy things can happen in any month, in any day of the year. It's not May Madness. It's May Flowers. March is madness. So can there be madness with this Mountaineer team? All signs point to no, but also March Madness. You know what I mean? And it's in Kansas City. That's where the Big 12 tournament is played. And the games will be played in Kansas City on what looks like a 94-foot TV screen. Apparently, it's very futuristic. It's unique. They can make the whole court look like a checkers board. They can make it look like you're swimming with dolphins. All sorts of options. They can make it look like anybody's home court. They can make it look like you're playing on an ice rink. So many options. I don't know how many options you need for a basketball court. You know, people like to have fun. It's fine. I'm an old person. Can West Virginia win in Kansas City for the first time in 3 years? We'll find out. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms, or just pick one: Spotify Podcast, Overcast Podcast, Amazon Podcast, Pocket Cast Podcast, YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh Witt, WVU. For the 2025-2026 season, they have 18 wins and they have 13 losses.